Good morning, church. I hope it is well with your soul, and I hope everything is going great as you're hunkered down there at home. I just want to say a couple things before we start. Number one, I want to say a thank you to Charlie and Sarah. They have put in hours of work trying to live stream these talks. We're using the equipment we have and doing the best we can. And we keep improving a little bit. The next Sabbath will be a little bit better. So just hang in there. We keep trying to find new ways and new tricks to get it worked with what we have. It's good to be here. And I hope all is well with all of you out there. and that things are going good. I was frustrated this first part of this week because I thought, you know, I want to preach about something other than the virus. It's just, that's all I hear is the virus, you know, and it's on the news and it's everywhere, but wow, you know, it's just a challenge. It's a real challenge because this is a challenge, the time we're living in. The thing that I want to share with you this morning before we go, as we get going through this, is that we'll start out with a video clip, a small video clip that I think that you can enjoy. And then we'll have our scripture reading, our prayer, and then we'll move on into the sermon. And basically what I want to share with you today is I want to share with you a perspective of everything. Now, first we're going to look at some figures. And then I want to go into the history of the Christian church, the Christian people, in times of other crises and how Christians reacted compared to the world. I want you to see that difference. And then we're going to look at scriptures and apply them to our lives today and how we need to do things today. So let's take a look at the video clip that we have here. Listen to it very carefully. I think that you'll find that it has a good message.
Always coming, I guess. Some kind of storm rolling in, always threatening. This looks like another big one. My dad always said, a man's got to be ready for anything. You do the work, you hunker down, you take care of what's yours. A man don't run when the storm's coming. That's what he said. You be strong, you be the mountain, you don't move. He was a mountain, all right. Then he was gone. Sometimes mountains fall. The storm hits. The waters come up fast. Mountains can crumble and slide right off into the sea. I've seen it happen. I'm no mountain. And I'm not standing out here on my own, Dad. I found something stronger. God is my refuge. I don't run away. But I do run to him. He shows up every time. He helps when it gets bad. Maybe this storm will miss us. Maybe not. Let it come, whatever it is. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not even going to try to handle it on my own. I've seen what God can do. He is the storm sometimes. He's all the strength I need. He's the real mountain. I won't move as long as I'm with him. So I'm sticking with him, Dad. He is God.
Basically, the message was, when a storm hits, we need to run to God. We need to run to God. Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Let's pray. Father, we're living in a storm right now, but may we truly trust you and make you our fortress. Bless us, I pray, in a very special way as we hear your words today and meditate and think upon them. And may we not live in fear, but may we live in hope. May we live in excitement for the days we're living in. And may you just be with us and give us the comfort we need day by day. This is my prayer for all our people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So like I said, it seems like the news always is about is the coronavirus and sweeping across the world. It seems like new developments come out every day, every week, every moment about this virus. We're getting a lot of information. It just keeps coming to us. A lot of information, a lot of misinformation. And it's difficult to sort out all of it all the time. So I want to look at it from a perspective of the other viruses that we have to face. But first of all, let's just take a look at the coronavirus. I'll say it right yet, the coronavirus. And this was this morning's statistics. Worldwide, there are 615,519 cases. And to date, this morning, as of this morning, about 7 o'clock, there are 28,717 deaths. Now, that's a lot. But take a look at the next stats. In the U.S., let me go with this first. In the USA, there's 104,680 cases and 1,700 deaths in the U.S. alone. Now that's a lot. I don't like to hear about anybody dying. That's a lot. But look at the facts. The H1N1 virus in 2009, which is not that long ago, in the U.S. alone, 60 million confirmed cases. Worldwide, there are over 200,000 plus that died. Now think about that for a minute. Worldwide, so far, there's been 28,000. But today, we only have up to about 28,000. But worldwide, with the H1N1 virus, there are over 200,000. That's a huge difference between the two. This next one, influenza, every year, the flu virus, every year. Worldwide, there is 20,000 to 60,000 deaths just from the flu every year. 20,000 to 60,000. And so far with this virus, of course, it's not over yet, but we only had 28,000 deaths. So why am I giving these numbers? I want to get things in perspective for all of us. As Christians, we are not to promote panic, hysteria, or have knee-jerk reactions. As Christians, we serve an almighty God. A God who is in control of everything. He's almighty. And let's don't forget that. He is in control of everything. He loves everyone. He is the sovereign God. And his love is everlasting. Now that doesn't mean that we as Christians will somehow miraculously be immune to this virus. That's not what it means at all. It doesn't mean that we won't catch the virus, and it doesn't mean some of us may not die and get sick and die. But what it means is that no matter what, we can trust God. We have a different hope. We have a hope beyond this life. There's an old African proverb that I'm sure that many of you heard many times that basically says, if God is not finished with me, I cannot die. That's true. I've looked at my life in the past, and a lot of things have happened to me in the different occupations I've been involved in, and I've escaped death several times. And I've always said, God is not finished with me yet. So let's remember, God is our Lord. He is who's in charge. So we're going to look at some couple examples of how God's people have dealt with the catastrophes, viruses, similar to this. And then we're going to go directly to the Word of God. So let's go back. Let's go back in time, back to about 420 AD. 420 AD. The barbarians have just attacked the city of Rome. Okay? The Roman Empire is on its heels. The entire civilized world at that time was collapsing. They're losing everything. They're falling apart. If you've been alive at this time, everything that you would have known was being turned upside down and destroyed if you lived at that time. You see, the fall of Rome will eventually lead to the Dark Ages and then a long time of horrible, horrible things. During this time in 420 AD, there were two church fathers who were very influential. The first one is Jerome. He's the guy who actually wrote the Latin Vulgate version of the scriptures. He did a lot of translating, a lot of work, and wrote the Latin Vulgate of the scriptures. The other one was Augustine. Now, as the barbarians are storming the city of Rome, it's very interesting, Jerome becomes distraught. Very distraught, upset, beside himself. So he, what does he do? He goes into isolation in a cave. And basically, he dies of depression. Because society and civilization and culture as he knew it was basically over. He fell into a deep depression and despair and just basically gave up. That's Jerome. Let's take a look at Augustine. Now Augustine, what did he do when this thing hit? He writes a book. 90 pages. And the name of the book is called The City of God. And in that book, he takes an entirely different perspective. Augustine says, and I quote, "There is a city of man which is shifting and changing throughout the ages of human history. Empires rise, empires fall. Economics grow and get robust, and then they collapse, and time marches on." So that's the city of man. Then he says, "But the city of God endures forever. It is eternal, and it's the goal of every believer, the city of God." So Augustine went on to live for another 10 years. He died at the age of 75, but during that 10-year time, he continued preaching, teaching, evangelizing, writing books, and making a difference for the kingdom of God. What a different perspective he and Jerome had. The difference between these two was their view of God and His sovereignty and His goodness. And the main difference between the two men was actually where did they place their hope? Where did they place our, where do we place our hope? The bubonic plague, or the black plague, they call it. We're going to move fast forward to the 1500s. And this black plague was spreading all across Europe. And before it was finished, are you ready for this? Before it was finished, it would end up killing 60 million people. It nearly wiped out two-thirds of Europe. Two-thirds of Europe. In 1527, this plague, this black plague, moved into Germany. And the Germans were so distraught, they all started packing up and moving out of Germany. Because if you caught that black plague, it was done. There was no cure. You were finished. It was over. And so they're running for it. They're fearful. They're running for their lives. And I want to tell you, it's amazing. Because they started going out of Germany so fast, it looked like a huge stampede was leaving. Let me give you an illustration. There's a World Heritage Site in Alberta, Canada. It's called the Head Smashed in Buffalo Jump. It's a pretty interesting place. I've read about it, but it was a large slaughter site for the Blackfoot Indians. Basically, what they would do if it was a nice day, a group of Blackfoot Indians would get on their horsebacks and they would start riding into a herd of buffaloes. And they hooper, and they were hollering, and they were getting the buffaloes to move into a state of panic. And as the buffaloes began to run, the Blackfoot would direct just a few of the bulls, direct them, and lead them towards a cliff. The Head Smash in Buffalo Jump is called. The rest of the buffaloes just blindly followed them. All they could see was the back of the other buffalo in front of them. And so they just followed them. And of course, you know what happened. On the side of the cliff they went. Over. Highly successful strategy they had for the buffalo, the Blackfoot. Not too good for the buffalo. Let's go back to the Black Plague now. The Black Plague spread across Germany. The people acted a lot like those herds of buffalo. They stampede. They did not know where they were going or how they would survive anyway, but they were just leaving their farms, leaving their jobs, leaving their livelihood, and getting out of there as quickly as possible. What about Martin Luther? I learned some things that this kind of astonished me. Martin Luther lived during the Black Plague. He was a great Protestant reformer, as you remember. And he and his wife, Kathleen, they decided to take time just to pray, to find out from God what God wanted them to do. Everybody, remember, is fleeing Germany. Martin Luther, his wife, Kathleen, they're praying. And they decided, after praying, that they would stay. They were going to stay because they saw a huge opportunity for ministry. They turned their home into a hospital. And they began ministering to the shut-ins and everyone that was afflicted by this plague. And what's interesting to me, which really boggled my mind, what's really interesting to me is it's during this plague, during this time when they were ministering to the sick that had the plague, inviting the homeless into their homes and taking care of them. And it was during this time that Martin Luther wrote the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is My God." In our hymnal. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing. Our helper is amid the flood, our mortal ills prevailing. It's a great hymn about God's sovereign power and his protection. When the world is going crazy, friends, we have hope. We serve a God, an all-powerful, an all-loving God. Now let's jump down to 1918, getting a little closer to our times. Let's jump down to 1918, when the Spanish flu killed more than 600 million, and more than 500 million, and more than 600,000 in America. That's the Spanish flu. The picture you see there on the screen is a picture of the Oakland Municipal Auditorium. It's used as a temporary hospital during this height of the flu epidemic in 1918, and the hospital is actually staffed by Red Cross volunteer nurses. Let me take you to Buffalo, New York during this time of the flu. The mayor ordered all places of worship to be closed. Churches, went ahead and met in open meetings outside the church and held their services. Let's go to Alexandria, Louisiana, during the 1918 plague. A pastor named Dr. W.A. Black explained to the local newspaper that he could not, in good conscience, keep his church closed. Wow. Despite an order from the mayor, especially because the pool halls and the grocery stores remained open and they congregated more people than his church congregated. So he says, why should I close my church? Let's go to another location, San Francisco, California. The Reverend John Quincy Adams Henry, the pastor of the San Francisco First Baptist Church, held open-air services in front of his church building because the church itself was closed by order of the city. So he held church outside the church building in front. Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. In Baltimore, Maryland, there are Christians being arrested because they refuse not to attend the services. And then there's a mayor of Dallas who actually allowed churches to remain open. So what does that all mean to you and me today? When we look back at the Christians who have gone on before us and who were dealing with pandemics much worse and far worse than anything we are dealing with today, what I see is men and women taking a strong, strong faith in God's word. We see men and women who understand that there were real and serious risks involved, but who also understand that ultimately God is in control. God's in control. What we see is men and women who, instead of giving into fear and herd mentality, they saw things like opportunities to give to a questioning world answers that only the Word of God is going to help us. The secular world is out there. It can't offer any real hope. They can't explain to you why these things are happening. Oh, they can explain to us that X plus Y equals Z, but they can't give us a deeper philosophical, theological meaning behind why are these horrible plagues coming? Why the pestilences? Why the outbreaks? Why the viruses? Why do they keep coming? They can't explain that. But God's word addresses that, doesn't it? Things like this explains to us how things like this will happen, why they happen, and that they'll continue to happen more and more frequently, and they're going to get worse, and they're going to get worse. But God's word also gives us hope and security and peace and comfort. It gives you an understanding of what, how, and why all of this is happening. As Rita spoke a couple weeks ago when preaching on Matthew 24, these are nothing but birth pains. That's all they are. There will be false Christs, there will be wars, there will be famines, there will be earthquakes, and there will be pestilences. And it says in verse 8 of Matthew 24, these are the beginning of birth pains. Yeah. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Let me share you something that I found on the internet. It gives us another perspective. I printed it out because I didn't want to try and type it all on my iPad here. But I want to share this with you. This to me was quite interesting to read. It reads, so viruses happen. Bad ones. They kill a lot of people. It's just part of the existence. But I gotta say, never in the entire history of humanity has any group of humans been able to wait out a pestilence in the luxury of all that we have right now. Think about it. We live in spacious boxes with crystal clear views of sunlight, and beautiful blooming trees, the flowers, the plants that look like jewels just because it's the beginning of spring. Our boxes are warm and dry and safe from predators and bandits. With good circulation and clean air and running water that is safe to drink, even hot on demand. We don't have to go outside to wash or use the bathroom. The Lord knows some of us apparently have an embarrassing excess of toilet paper. And for the record, if you just want to know, back in those days, they didn't even have toilet paper. Yeah. We have pantries stuffed with dry food and also cold food and frozen food and cooking devices that require no effort but the push of a button. We have unlimited entertainment of all sorts 24/7. Many of us are still able to work, albeit from home, and our income is not drastically affected. Our paychecks are automatically deposited, our bills are auto-paid. Someone comes by once a week and picks up the garbage. And when we do need to leave the house, we don't have to break into a sweat and ride around in a personal carriages, isolated from other people's coughs and germs and smells. Most people, most precious of all, we're able to instantly communicate with all our friends and family all over the world. By writing, by voice, by camera, it's our choice. Your ancestors who lived through the Black Death or the 1918 flu or a thousand other things would be astonished at our luxury. At our luxury. If our ancestors could get through this type of thing without everything that we have, surely we can too. So back up, America. Stay home. Quit whining. And wash your hands, will you? Back to our text. Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And I want to share another text with you. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though the waters roar and the foam in the mountains quake with their singing. I don't know about you, but these songs give me encouragement. They fill me with comfort, joy, peace. They put me at ease and remind me how big our God is. It reminds me that He is the one that's in control. Let's trust Him. He's able to deliver us, He's able to protect us, and He's able to keep us safe. It reminds us that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John chapter 4. It reminds me that if God is for us, who can be against us? And it should remind us that our lives and our well-being are in His hands. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. And what that means is that God is our rest. He's our protection, our security. He is our deliverer. And He alone can keep us well, healthy, safe, and sound. So I want to encourage you this morning, put your beliefs on display to the world. That is in fear. Let your light shine out of a world that is walking in darkness. And that's asking questions and looking for answers and looking for hope. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So please, take courage in God and in the strength of his might. Take the opportunity to share the gospel with others. Call them on the phone. Text them. Email them. Take the opportunity to give them the hope that is in you. Things like this virus are nothing but birth pains. And they're going to continue in frequency. And they're going to continue in severity. And we know that these things are nothing more than pointers to the soon return of Jesus. Soon return of Jesus. Pestilences, plagues, crazy locust storms in Africa, massive wildfires. We see the wars and the rumors of war. None of these things, however, are the card to cause our hearts to melt with fear. Because our God is a mighty fortress. Our God is a mighty fortress. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has promised us that he'll be with us even to the end of the age. That's his promise. Let's pray. Father, wow. Help us to be faithful to you, to share this great message of hope that you're coming soon. And that we can trust you in life and death. We can trust you completely that you'll be with us and watch over us. So Father, let us remain faithful to you. Let us not grasp fear, but let us grasp your hand and walk with you day by day as you lead us through this time and help us to be the messengers you want us to be, messengers of hope, messengers of courage, messengers of the gospel of Jesus is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We off?
Our striving world.
spirit.